On this special episode of the Extra Hot Music Experience. Hashtag now playing with Dakara. Hey, welcome back. And now we are here with Extra Hot Music Experience. Yours truly, Kankerut. And for today, we have a very, very special segment because this is hashtag now playing. And we have our very first guesting for this show. That's why I'm both ecstatic and also nervous because this is the very first show. But today, I have here Dakara. I hope I'm saying
yes.
It correctly.
Yes. You were the first person to say it right.
Right, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Genuinely.
10 points for me.
Yes.
So they are, am I correct? A cult rock band from Manchester, UK.
Yeah. That's yes.
Awesome. Yeah.
Awesome. Yes. So since, okay, Dakara, is that something that, they gotten from a Japanese word. It's there's a word also from Japan that said that means dakara, which means therefore. Or is it is there?
Explain to them what it means. Yeah, explain to them what
that
means. We're never gonna explain what it means. We're never gonna be said to like ever. Don't ever say it, Jamie. It's an anagram. Yeah. The word's an anagram, and it's a great coincidence that it's also a word in Japanese.
Yeah, what does it mean in Japanese? I forgot.
I'm going to Google kind
of water, isn't it?
Yeah, actually,
it's a type of water.
I'm not sure if it's.
I didn't know that.
I'm not sure if it's therefore, dakara.
Wait.
So they say it in German. Dakara.
After watching dakara. So many anime, that does sound familiar.
Yes.
And it's funny that you described us as like a mash between Paramore and like an opening anime scene because the next song we're releasing, the video that's going with it, we're making
don't
it
say
into
too much,
an
Emma.
Okay, we're making it anime. it's an anime thing. So that's really cool. And we're excited to share that.
Super. But, because the first thing when my first impression when I saw the name Dakara. It's like, oh, because I'm an anime fan and I love anime. So shout out to One Piece fans. So I don't know if they're One Piece fans from you guys or One Punch Man. Because it's the first thing that came to my mind. And since I've learned when you shared in YouTube the videos and also the lyrics that you've covered it from a somehow like a video game, I'm not sure, and the other one is from an anime. So the first thing, oh, maybe Dakara is like came from a Japanese word. So that was my first impression. But you mentioned it's an anagram. So I'm not sure. You don't want to share it. That's okay. Let's leave it as a mystery.
The secret
for now.
Will never be revealed.
We like the mystery. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Good.
It's like the way the Weeknd does it. There's a mystery behind it, so
yeah.
Fans will crave for it if they don't know the meaning behind it. So you will gather more fans from it, right?
We can hope.
By the way, for the sake of course that we know all of you guys, can we have like a brief introduction of the group, starting with the main vocalist?
Yeah, of course. My name's Emma. I've been interested in music for as long as I can remember. I've always just made sure to go down the route of studying it where I could. I studied it in school. I did like singing classes wherever I could get them. And then I went to university to study music as well. And that's kind of around the time where I found these guys. Not in uni, funnily enough. I found them outside of that. But I was grateful for it, and any of like the skills that I gained from doing the studies I just threw at this project. So yeah.
Wow. So can you say you're the veteran of this group? confidently, well, can you say?
in education, in terms of
experience,
maybe,
in the music,
but
sorry.
In experience, oh. Actually, no. I mean, you know, a lot of these guys have been playing music, you know, live for years and years, mm-hmm. and I'm sure they'll get on to talk about that. But I feel like I went down a different route. Their route was more, you know, confidence and going on stage whenever they wanted to, and that was like the fun of it. And mine was like, let's just, you know, study this thing and see what happens in future. It's something for future Emma to worry about, and here we are.
quite the background there, no? from you were little and then now you're jamming with these guys.
Yeah,
must have been a journey, quite a journey.
It was. I actually saw a video that my dad showed me when I was 10, and I made a video saying, "Hello, future Emma. This is a video. I hope you are singing right now." And I was like, cool.
Hi to myself 10 years from now.
Yeah, literally. Wow. Like, "Hello, I'm 10-year-old Emma. I hope you are still singing." Like, yes, 10-year-old.
Very cool, very nice. I hope you had a video like that, right? You have a... you have a you're able to share it, maybe. I'm sure that this won't be the last meeting with you guys, so maybe in the future you can share some of those
share that
throwback maybe. 10 years 15 years from before you were like what 10 years old, as you mentioned that you were starting singing, practicing day in day out, so here you are now. Okay, thank you, Emma. How about you, Callum?
So I am Callum. I have also been interested in music for as long as I can remember.
Very good.
I play drums in the band, though I'm mostly a guitarist by nature. I've been doing music since technically primary school, like messing around with like brass band stuff, got more towards rock music and playing guitar and drums in like start of early high school, and then just been playing gigs and stuff ever since. Met Dyson at a gig of an old band that I was in. Oh God, that was Fractured, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was Fractured.
Oh, Fractured. Fun times. Me and Dyson hit it off. Then met Emma when she was in university, and then we wrote most of the songs for Dakara around that time, and then we kind of just all came together. Jamie, we met him from down Leicester, absolute smashing lad. He's also in another band called Raucous Reds. Go listen to
check
it.
Check us out.
Yeah, we will plug his band. Raucous
Thank
Reds,
you.
Awesome.
Thank you, guys.
But yeah, no, it's just fun times.
Yeah, it's though I'm listening right now. It's the sequence of the things that are happening in. That you got together. It's funny that how music is, you know, when you started playing instruments or singing, along the way, along the journey, you're meeting these people, and then something happens. Yeah. You feel some kind of connection with these people, and here you are. You've made a band.
I think music can bring people together like quite a lot. I mean, I'm pretty sure me and Dice were talking about this. Like one specific thing that if that didn't happen, like none of us would ever have met.
Yeah, that's crazy.
All down to music.
That is weird. And yeah.
Yeah, without that, we wouldn't have met up together.
Yeah. It's like the Lego piece, right? If there's a missing piece, then should have
all falls down.
Created that the Batmobile or something.
Yeah.
That musical Jenga.
Yeah.
Musical Jenga.
Jenga,
yes.
Yeah.
The missing. Great story.
Beautiful.
Thank you, Callum.
We gotta put that in a lyric.
Musical Jenga.
Emma's thinking of a lyric already.
Yes.
You're very fascinating. Songwriting expert.
Thank you.
Thank you, Callum. Jamie?
I'm Jamie. I play guitar. I've been interested in music, again, for as long as I can remember. I've sort of got into like, my dad was listening to like Queen and Guns N' Roses and stuff, and he got me into rock music. And I started playing guitar about 15, and then it just took off from there. Like, I'm obsessed with music. As Carl's already said, I'm in another band because I'm actually from Manchester, from a different part of England, a worse part. And
really,
nowhere's worse than Manchester. Don't worry about it.
But anyway, yeah. So these guys came down to do a gig where I am. I wasn't playing that night, but I just went along to check them out. And I just immediately fell in love with them. And then Dyson sent me a message a few days later asking if I could fill in on bass. So I did that and then sort of took off from there, really, like started playing bass for them and then moved on to guitar. So yeah,
we vibe with Jamie more than like most people, and we were like, yeah, we want you in the band, dude.
Yeah. There was like a poll in the Facebook group chat, like, can we Jamie join the band?
So that's how they convinced you, just, we need you in the band, will you come?
Well, yeah, because it was originally, it was just for a few gigs to like just fill in on bass. So I mean, I can play bass sort of okay. Yeah. And then kind of from there, it escalated into me joining the band. So yeah.
Fantastic. How about you, David?
Unlike the others, I can pinpoint when I decided I wanted to start playing music.
Ooh, that's interesting.
When I was, I think, 16, I wanted to impress a girl.
You looked deep into Matt Tuck's eyes.
I wish it was
David, you were mentioning you wanted to impress some girl?
Yeah, that's why I started.
Heard it correctly?
Yes.
That's why you started?
That's exactly why I started playing music. Before that, I was really active. That's actually true. That's why I started playing music.
Wow.
before that, I did acting from when I was like 5. So I've kind of always done the creative arts. But yeah, through gigging with a project called Imperium, which was like my first band, I met some musicians for another band, which is the band which ended up me meeting Callum and Fractured. And it sort of just snowballed towards that. And then, so it was us three, and we were on the search for like just temporary musicians, because us three really worked well together and it was a good atmosphere. And we didn't want to bring someone in who we didn't really, we weren't 100% on, or there was no guarantee that they were a perfect fit for the band. Or that they just weren't as dedicated, because a thing that I was personally worried about was getting a member in the band and then they just mute the chat and then they read it once every couple of weeks. And then when you want them to come to a practice, they reply an hour into the practice going, oh, cool, guys, when's the practice happening? And Jamie, bless him, Jamie learned all the music back to front. And the thing that really, I think, impressed me and everyone, the thing that impressed me, and I think both Emma and Callum, was Jamie lives 120 miles away from us.
Yeah.
And so we'd be doing a practice every week, and he'd make the trip up and he'd make the trip back. Like, he'd spend 4 hours driving just to come and do a 3-hour practice with us for a band that he wasn't a permanent member of. And we all got along perfectly, and it kind of just ticked all the boxes that we're after, which is like how we sort of came to be the 4-piece that you can see right now. Even though in music videos Jamie looks like Callum and Callum looks like Jamie.
Especially with the masks on.
Thank you for mentioning.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
We're not gonna get confused in the future.
Fingers crossed.
At least they're in the same band, right? Even if they're interchanged by the fans. Oh, you're Jamie and Callum.
I should play drums for a gig instead.
I was about to say, Jamie, you need to learn how to play the drums and then strap every now and then.
No one will know.
Yeah.
I can do a straight beat, that's about it.
That's what we need for Docker, it's fine.
Yeah.
Especially if Jamie will grow a beard, then, I mean, the confusion will just...
Oh, I can't grow a beard. I've tried.
I don't mind shaving mine off. It's not even anything fancy. Anyway. It's just...
you could just draw here.
Sharpie
make up, just break. Yeah, Sharpie. Yeah, use a Sharpie. Thank you, David. Yes, go ahead, James.
I live like 120 miles away, but I'm still early.
that's true.
Always late.
Still more early than Dyson.
We'd shoot a video, and Jamie would have a 2.5-hour drive to get there, and I have a 10-minute drive to get there, and Jamie would still get there early, and I'd still turn up late every time without fail.
Every time.
So does any of you get mad when someone's late for the practice?
Not really.
No, if it was like an hour late, I'd be like, Dyson!
I mean, I can't really say anything because most of the time I'm in the car with Dyson.
Emma and Callum, I feel like if I'm late, you're late. So we can shout at Jamie can shout at us. That's
basically.
It sounded like Emma is, how would you say it? Don't be angry, but it sounded like you're the queen mother of the dragons.
Queen mother of the dragons, yes! How could I be angry at that? That's awesome.
It's like a misandry. Yep. Thank you for the introduction. So that's a very, very, I mean, fantastic background story and how you form. It's like a twist of fate, right? That music, as mentioned by David, it's that a weird thing that brings people together. Not only that we have fun with music, but it's also in your story that it brings people with different talent, and then you create this amazing art, which is music, and you're just having fun with it, right?
Yeah,
pretty much.
So, since you mentioned about the forming of the band, in terms of the band image, because I've noticed that it's like you're very particular with the color green.
We like green.
So you have this. I'm not sure. Is it apple green? Or is it just regular green or neon green?
I feel
green?
Like it's neon.
It's daiquiri green.
Daiquiri green.
So pretty sure Dyson can tell you that, like, the exact number of the color.
I have the color ID written down, so we always get the right one. Yeah.
Perfect. It's that attention to detail. Detail is most important, right? When you make that brand image, it's very, very important.
Yeah. Go on,
Jamie. Go after you, man.
No, I was just going to say, it's what a lot of sort of smaller local bands don't do is concentrate on in a little bit of their time and effort on their brand and imaging, which can really make a difference, I think.
Yeah, it needs to be memorable. It needs to be something people associate with. So say we do a piece of artwork that has that color green and maybe has a couple of glitches in it and it's based on our next song. Even if you don't have the word Dakar in there, people who know us will be like, oh, that's probably a Dakar song because of the branding. And I think that is really important. People like to have something they can associate, their favorite music with. And it'd be really cool if we were someone's favorite music, you know?
I mean, we're my favorite music, so.
Oh, that's really cute.
Actually, the moment that I saw the the brand image, it stuck with in my head, so it worked.
That's good,
right? I mean,
yes.
And then, as you mentioned, that when fans listen to your music or see the brand image, this is the music that I'm expecting to hear or enjoy. Mm-hmm. Brand imaging is very, very important, and you nailed it, guys. So
Thank you so much. Kudos to you.
Going back to the members, I'm just curious, who is the most serious?
Ooh, it depends.
It depends on the topic.
Yeah, I feel like Dyson can get the most serious and also the least serious. It just depends what
there's
it is.
There's a level to it. I mean, in terms of levels to it, who is the most serious when it comes, for example, in practice? Guys, we need to do this. We need to practice. We have a gig tomorrow.
Dyson.
It's between me and Callum. It's between me and Callum.
You and Callum. Go ahead.
Usually it's Callum, but if I just wake up on a serious day, I think then it's me.
I'm usually really serious because I've got like the most to make up for in terms of playing the drums. So I'm usually like, come on guys, we're gonna nail it.
So Callum, you're type of person that would move heaven and earth to make things happen.
In terms of actual like live stuff, I would say that I care most about like the live aspects of the shows, like the actual like how well we play and everything like that. I would definitely say like Dyson is, because Dyson's the one that does most of our like our recording and our image and our video editing and stuff like that behind the scenes and promo. Dyson's like the most serious when it comes to that. But yeah, it's important to have a good live show. So I'll kick people if they need to.
Yeah, it's
including myself mostly.
Yeah, because I think a way I personally look at it is at the end of the day, even if we're first on a lineup, the openers, and nobody knows who we are, people have still paid to get into the show. Like, they've not paid to come watch some people who've like not put any effort into it. Like, even if the ticket was 50p, like, they paid to come and see you. You've got to make it a good show for them.
Yep.
Like, obviously, we never want to think of it as music being a job, because as much as we'd all love to have a career off music, it's sometimes a bad thing to look at things as a job.
People think job equals chore, and music is not a chore for us, and we don't want it to become a chore.
But we want people to watch us and go, that was well worth what it cost to get into the venue, or that was well worth my time. Because then, they're watching us for half an hour. Like, you could go watch a good episode of an anime for half an hour, like, including travel time.
Minutes.
Like, a 5 minutes bathroom break halfway through. There you go, Callum. like, people, they're putting their time and, in some cases, and in a lot, their money in terms of travel and the ticket price to come and see us. Like, we've got to make it worth it. Like, if you're willing to support us, we've got to make it worth it for you. It's like, nobody's entitled. Go on, Callum.
There have literally been bands in the past where we've not really liked the music because it's not our style, but we see them play live and they've played so well live that we're like, okay, we like that band now.
Yeah, we'll go back and see them again. Yeah.
It goes to show how important live shows are. So it's,
the performance aspect of it, definitely.
Yep. Because if you would agree, because music is an emotional product. I don't know where I've heard it. Music is an emotional product. And of course, when fans are hooked to it and when they see the live shows, they're expecting a full circle experience. I mean, when they experience something from a live show, there's an emotion attached to it. And if they see you the first time, of course, as mentioned by David, that it should be worthwhile over their time because the ticket, of course, and the travel time that they've provide. And it's good that you're focusing on that mantra or mindset that, man, if we're going to do this show, we make sure that it's worthwhile for the audience or for the fans, right? So that they'll come back for more. They'll be hungry for more Dakara songs, right?
Yeah.
That's the aim, you know? Not just fans, but super fans. That's the aim. That's the name of the game.
It's really the dedicated fans that that make bands the most.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Because they all just go to there, mate. Go, hey, check out this band, and then
that's how it grows. All you need is one dedicated band.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly. Tattoos and all that kind of stuff.
Start with 1,000, and then you go up there, right?
Yeah.
So if you have 1,000 super fans, I mean, it comes a long way. I mean, 1,000 people is a lot, right?
Oh, it is.
It's a low.
It's a low.
Are you okay there, Dyson?
Yeah. Well,
I think he just broke. I think point we're talking, I don't know how many views are on our Megalovania video. I think it's 17K.
It's 17K now.
Yes.
That's the biggest number I've seen to do with like any music I've made in my life. And it is so cool.
The Undertale fan base really, really came through with that.
Oh yeah, thank you guys.
the first time I saw it in YouTube, it was like 15k, and now it's 17k. So it's growing on a rapid pace, right?
Especially
because there's a story behind Megalovania and all the other tracks that you have created, the art that you have created, and there's also an attached how do you call this? There's an attached backstory from why the fans were gravitated towards that song, because you mentioned the, it's related to a certain type of is it an anime song or sorry an anime or it's a game, right? It's a game.
Yeah.
Undertale's Undertale's a game. Yeah. I think the other song we did, Just Monica, that's an anime slash game. So I feel like that's two, you know, fan bases coming together. And writing about that, the intention wasn't, you know, to be like, hey, come and listen to our stuff because this is about a game. It was when I wrote the topic, like the lyrics and the melody, I was thinking, I'm really into this game right now and it relates to what I want to write about. So I'm going to write about it. And it's only a bonus that people who listen to that song now know the kind of content that we're interested in. And I think that's cool. When people can relate to you and your music, it's a lot better, you know, they're more likely to stick around and be like, hey, let's check out the future stuff. Than if you wrote a random song that kind of, that you don't believe in, that has no meaning for you. You're just writing a song to write a song.
Yep. Because honestly, when I heard it, I have no background from Undertale. Although I have a history of course, having played games before.
Yeah.
And knowing that I don't have a background of Undertale, but since I have a background of playing video games, it caught my attention. It even caught my attention because here's a song that related to a video game that I'm not familiar with, but still, it's a video game. That's why, it's related to a video game. What? I mean, I got curious. I got hooked. That what's this all about? What's this Undertale?
Yeah.
You know
that's
what I
cool.
mean. So, I mean, especially if the fans that heard the music the first time and it's related to Undertale, it's already a sold. sold music for them,
exactly,
right?
Yeah.
So I think that's the, how would you say, sorry, I'm making an analysis right now. It should be a conversation.
Sure,
right. I'm intrigued by the music, of course. That's why I'd like to talk to you about the music that you have created. And you just correct me because I'm just making a personal analysis, but you made the song yourself. So that's my analysis about the music. That how it's growing rapidly, it's gaining fans because of that background, which is good.
Yeah, for sure.
So, and then in Just Monica, I was also intrigued because you mentioned that it's related now to anime. The first song, Megalovania. By the way, the Megalovania, I could say when I heard it, the guitar riff, when I heard it, it never left my mind. It just kept playing, even if after playing the song, I just kept remembering the riff. I mean, the guitar riff. And then there was a time when I played it like 10 times in a row.
Because bless you.
Thank you.
Because I really love the energy. The beginning of it, there was already the energy is already there. And once you feel that energy, you got hooked, and then you listen to the lyrics and the drums, and then, I mean, it just pumps you up. The energy level of that, that song just pumps
you
up.
I feel like we want to do that kind of vibe. Sometimes we're going to do slow songs or slower songs, but most of the time, Dakar is a fun band. That's what we intend it to be.
Yeah.
Callum, did you shake your head then?
If it's any slower than 200 BPM, which is...
We're not doing
it. Sorry. If it's below 200 BPM, I'm out.
Okay, no worries, guys. Whatever.
I've been writing songs that are like 130.
Well,
Jamie, blasphemy, man.
Hang on, I'm just going to remove you as an admin from the page. Totally related,
Jamie. No, we'll get there. You've got to kind of have that contrast of like, we can't always just punch you in the face with
200
BPM punk.
Yep.
No one has that much energy.
So in the future, you'll be venturing for a little slower. Is that that?
Slower like
music,
not balanced,
we've got like a
slower
few,
groovy stuff.
Yeah, we've got like a few of our next songs planned out. And then right about now, because we did lead with just Monica and Mega, which were more like tied to video games, we're now going through establishing our own sound to kind of separate ourselves from just the video game band.
Yep.
But then after that, we want to experiment with stuff because we all like completely different music. Well, not completely different, but like
similar different but enough music. Different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It'd be cool. We use all that influence and mash it together.
Yeah.
So it's. So in the future, it will not be related to a like video game or anime. So it's like more a
how you establish kind of tackle popular culture, really, like internet culture.
Like cult rock is about making music about popular culture. So you know, anime and video games, I'm pretty sure are going to come back at some point.
They will.
Because I think that's something that we have in common.
Because if you have that kind of music, it already shows that you already have like a ready fan base, not the direct fan base, but I mean what I mean is that they're fans of anime and video games, but since you already have a music that's correlated to it or have a background story about it, then they're easy to catch. To be a fan of your music because they already have a correlation to video games and anime. But I understand that sometimes you don't want to be fully correlated just to be on video game music or anime. You have to make some kind of a twist. Because if you remember Linkin Park when they started, they're so hardcore when they started their first their music, right? And then they slowly... transcend to a different type of music, which will tick off some of the fans, but it's part of the process, right? It's part of the creative process wherein you can't make the same music over and over again. You have to reinvent yourself.
Yeah.
So you're still in the same genre, but you have to tweak some of the elements to make that
new
and fresh music, right?
So I guess and the good thing about Linkin Park is that you always know, oh, this is Linkin Park, no matter if you heard a song from whatever years ago or a couple of years ago, it's Linkin Park.
Yeah.
That's the main thing.
Especially
the thing with bringing.
Yep. You are the host.
I am the host now. Hello.
Hello.
How are you doing, Emma?
David. David's coming back. Oh, thank God. Yep. Hello, David.
Can you see me?
I'm here.
Yes. Hello. On.
Am I
clear? Yeah, I can see you.
We got caught off. I don't know what happened. What happened? I think it was Jamie was talking a while ago. I'm not sure what happened. Maybe the internet connection.
Jamie, it was your fault. How dare you?
Why is it my fault?
I can't believe you've done this.
I'm sorry.
I can't believe you've done this.
I was only talking about Bring Me the Horizon. It's so.
Yeah. I love them. Very good.
They're good.
Ollie Sykes, please.
Now, Emma, you mentioned that you are, correct me if I'm wrong, you're mainly doing the songwriting, the lyrics, is that right?
Yeah, so I write the melody lines and I write the lyrics. So sometimes I will write a melody line for like a chorus or a verse, and then I'll send it over to one of the guys and they'll come up with an idea and we'll just kind of build it up from there. So it is very much like musical Jenga. In the way that we're building up the blocks one by one by one by one. But that my thing is, my thing is the melody and the lyrics. It's like the thing that I'm very protective over.
you try and change anything. It's just.
It is a battle. Yeah.
that's where all the good stuff comes, yeah.
Yeah. We're all kind of in our individual corners and then eventually it comes together.
It's like it's like you're using chisels, right? You're molding the music into what it is right
now. Yeah.
Right? So it means it's not just Emma. Emma is just Emma has started this. Yeah, she's the first sculptor. And then
I am the clay.
She gives the chisels to the guys. And, you're the clay. And then the guys bring their chisel and then they pitch in their ideas.
Yeah.
For the first few songs we did, it was an interesting one because that was back when Emma was still in university, having to do an album, and I was helping her out with it. So it would be, like she said, she'd come up with a kind of general vocal idea, then she'd send it to me. I'd make the guitar and the drums behind it. And then what ended up happening from there was we kind of got this rough idea. Mm-hmm. And then, sorry, Jamie, this was before Jamie was in the band.
Sorry, Jamie.
We would both have this kind of like rough thing, and then we'd send it to Dyson, who was like the recording and the mixing, mm-hmm. and also producing, and he'd add like little changes here and there, and all the glitching effects and all the post production that really brought the songs to life.
Yeah.
And I feel like that is definitely now more the kind of the songwriting we're going. It's like me, Emma has an idea, me and Jamie mess around with it, and then we send it to Dyson, who ultimately just goes Salt Bae and makes it good. Or at least that's normally how it's supposed
that's
to
work. That's the theory, anyway.
That's the theory, yeah.
It's like that. I don't know if you have watched that episode from Saturday Night Live in the US, wherein Will Ferrell has the cowbell.
Yeah, cowbell.
But the manager loves more cowbell. So.
I don't know the perfect
analogy to that.
Yeah, Dyson's the one in the back just asking for more cowbell.
Yeah, I'll take that.
Less pog.
But
did you say that's pog?
Maybe.
Yeah, oh, Twitch never mind.
But I'm just curious, in your creation process of the music, what usually do you get your inspiration from? Is it the daily experiences or?
Yeah, so like.
Or different.
I don't like to base what I'm writing on one band. I don't like to do the, yeah, I want to sound like this band today. I kind of like, I want it to be more subconscious. So I'm just constantly listening to music and I feel like whatever comes out is like a mixed mash of what I'm into.
Yeah.
But for a lot of our music, it was kind of based on a theme. So I had a project and they said, you've got to write an album and it's got to be about specific something that ties the songs together. So I thought, hey, everyone writes about love, right? That's what everyone does. I don't want to do that. I'm going to do the complete opposite and write about the weirdest kind of love. So like obsession, just Monica, crazy obsession. Write about love that's like a bit dark, just ways of unconventional love, if that makes sense.
And then love between a woman and a calculator.
Oh, yes, God. Okay, no one has heard that song apart from us. I wrote a song about a woman who fell in love with a calculator. I don't know, Jamie, but I will bless you with it.
Fell in love with a calculator?
Is that, yes, it's a true story. There was an article about a woman who she was only attracted to like inanimate objects, I think, and she fell in love with a calculator. And she did an interview with someone and they wrote an article on it. And I was like, all right, I'm going to write a song about that because that's unconventional. Yeah, that I called it Add, Subtract, and Multiply. Yep.
Such a good name.
If she wants to love a calculator, none of my business.
are they still together?
I don't know. Maybe she's got a dictionary now or something.
No. Maybe they're divorced.
Maybe they're divorced.
They settled 50-50 in their property. I mean,
hey.
Calculator counting the numbers, right? I've got it. Yeah. I'm the calculator.
Oh man, so that was an exciting time in my life.
But
yeah,
but something that you don't hear every day, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I thought. I'm all for freedom of doing whatever you want. So yeah, thought I'd write a song about it.
But it's a fun story. Something you look about. I remember my ex. He was counting numbers. I hated him.
Yeah, he left me for a calculator.
He left me for a Casio calculator or something.
Calculator too curvy.
So, don't get me wrong. I've only asked for Megalovania and Just Monica, But those are the two that I jammed
with
so much. Yeah, their favorites. And also matches.
We love that.
But I also like Sell Out. I'm not sure that Sell Out or is it Clones, that your latest released track?
Yeah, so Sell Out was our release, but then we had Clones as like a B-side. So like an extra song.
I think
on YouTube we only have Clones up right now as an acoustic cover.
Yeah, we don't have the actual. We were going to do a lyric video for it at some point.
And then
whenever we get around to it.
And then you mentioned in the comment that some of it have our cover songs, right? So what if this takes off and somebody wants a cut of that cover song?
Oh, I mean, Megalovania is a cover song. But yeah,
I mean,
we
what
said,
if Megalovania becomes popular? What you're gonna do? I mean, there's a lot of money involved when something takes off, and then.
Well, I think doesn't DistroKid just automatically?
The distributor that we've gone with, they have an option where you can do cover songs, and they'll cover all the ins and outs for you. So we are covered. If before/when that happens, we totally covered for that.
Fox ever comes knocking at our door with a hammer,
legally.
Like, where's my Megalovania?
<We're covered. laughs>
Yeah, because it happens a lot in the music industry, right? So something that, I mean, some is related to samples, but here is a cover song. So, you know, I mean, it's like you're like in a shooting range. You are in the. And the center, if something happens, I mean, if this goes off, right? So you're in the crosshair of the main
owner.
But you should mention it's covered. So your cover song is covered. So
yeah, Dyson's got that covered. We trust Dyson. He knows what he's doing. Yeah.
I'm all glad you guys do, because I don't.
But as long as we enjoy the music, I mean. Sometimes you don't like this bureaucracy when it comes to I own that music, you should pay me something like. But I mean, it's all about the music. We just want to enjoy the music, right? So
yeah, exactly.
If you create great music, why not just enjoy it?
if someone did a cover of one of our songs one day, I wouldn't be like, "Oi, give us our check."
that's when you know you made it.
Show me
right?
the money. Show me the money.
Yeah, like if someone covers our song, that would be awesome, and I would love it. The last thing I would think about is, oh, maybe we should get a cut of this. No, Tar, you're all right.
Wait, no, I changed my mind. You know you've made it as a band when you've got a nightcore version of one of your songs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Wait,
nightcore.
Just double speed it.
Pitch it up.
Yep.
Pitch it up, double speed it, yeah.
Nightcore is also getting a great traction. I'm seeing it a lot in YouTube. Nightcore.
There's a lot of it, yeah.
Yes,
there's a lot of nightcore.
Come on, guys, make a nightcore song. Thank you.
No.
Nightcore matches are cool. I think that'll sound pretty cool.
Yeah, I think
that'll
sound
cool. All that song's too fast, though.
Yes, good. Make it happen. Go.
Matches is a nightcore, right? It can be a nightcore potential.
Yeah, I think it would sound good as a nightcore,
Nightcore is just... Isn't it nightcore? Is it just you correlate the music to some kind of anime? Am I right?
No, I think nightcore is just where you pitch it up, basically.
Yeah, you pitch up a song and you make it like twice the speed. Yeah. And I think a lot of people do like, anime background videos to nightcore stuff. So it's very associated with anime. Yeah. So we'll go with our vibe, I think, if someone did that.
But Megalovania is really the way. Hear it. It's really, really a good opening song. And I'm not sure if you're using it as an opening song when you're gigs.
Oh my god, yes, we are. Whoa,
I knew it. I knew
you're psychic,
it.
Man.
It's not on Spotify or YouTube, but live we do normally do Megalovania first, and then we've got like a little split section where Megalovania runs perfectly into just Monica.
Yeah.
So that's what we usually do.
Because the song is it just set up the mood, right? It just pumps you up and it raises the energy when you're hearing it. So the fans, when they hear it in the live show and the live session, their energy is already pumped up. And then you can go to the next song, which is...
Oh, you're making me miss live shows so much.
You just go with Monica next. Then, I mean, poof. People are just like... I mean, the energy is just... up there when you fuse those two in the shows.
We'll have to do a live recording or like someone holding a phone up for like Instagram live or something.
Yeah.
We need to do like, you know, when we got the at the Tirade gig, when we got the recordings from the desk.
Yeah.
We need to do like one of those and pair it with like an actual like good camera footage.
That would be great. And then that'd people awesome. From anywhere could have a look at what we do.
So your shows, you have a live recording of your of the shows that you have done, or some have doesn't have can share in the YouTube space.
I think we will when we get back to it.
Yeah, definitely.
It's something we're looking into. It's something we're looking into to do. Basically, as soon as live gigs properly come back, in 2077 in the UK.
Don't joke,
we're not hoping for that long time period to wait for.
Well, I'm hoping it's not that long, but you know.
Let's be positive here, David. Let's be positive.
Yes, okay, come on, David.
When live gigs come back,
be optimistic for we once. Are. I'm feeling David to be the pessimistic. Am I right, David?
He's actually not.
Alan is the pessimist, yes.
we're planning for that. For when gigs come back, we want to basically provide anything that we do. We want to make it available to you online or whatever, just so like if you're really into us, you're not just got 4-5 songs to listen to. It was past 4:04, guys. I couldn't count any further. you've not just got 5 songs to listen to. Like you can binge us. Like that's a thing. Like obviously, you totally understand like binge watching because everybody does it. Yeah. Like especially
I'm
in the case of
Megalovania.
Yes,
it's my nigga.
Exactly. Yeah.
And
we want to be the Netflix of bands.
Yeah, just if someone wants to binge our stuff, we want them to be able to. We don't want them to have 5 things to watch and then be like, cool, so now I'm gonna wait for a bit. Like if you're in a mood to watch us, we want you to be able to.
If
you want to see what we're like live, because maybe you're considering coming to watch us live, we want you to be able to see that so you know that we're gonna give you a good show. We want people to, if they're in the mood to spend 6 hours watching us in any way, shape, or form, they can.
Yeah.
Like,
we'd want too much content.
That'll be
we want to oversaturate the market.
Yep. Just going back to the music, you mentioned you're in the process of creating music, right? Are we talking about singles or are we going to expect an album? Somewhere in the horizon.
So for the time being, it will be singles and B-sides.
Yep.
We're toying around with how we're doing it. The next song, which will be out relatively soon, is going to be a single. Just a single for this one. And then the next one could potentially be another single and B-side. And then later in the year, we've not got a set date for it. We're looking at doing potentially an EP, which is just 4 or 5 songs. Or if we get a bunch of inspiration and we start churning out music, we might look into doing an album. So for the foreseeable, we're just doing singles, B-sides, the kind of thing that you've already seen us do. Because it means that we can give them more attention and make sure they're the best that you can be.
That's the thing that... The way people consume music now is mainly singles and B-sides.
Yep.
Yeah, because of Spotify. Yeah.
Spotify, yes.
And so then when, yeah, and then when we've got enough stuff backlogged or we feel we're in a proper creative environment and stuff's flowing, we are looking at doing something a bit longer than a single B-side, but we've just not got a confirmed date on that yet.
Yeah. But we're definitely thinking about it.
Yeah, we're penciling it in for some point.
We've got a sticky note. It's going on the fridge.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's that's going on my computer monitor. As long as it's recorded anywhere in your house, you can see it, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not going to go deep what will be those music. I guess we just leave it as a mystery and just wait for it until it's released. So... I hope I'm the first one to experience that those singles and that planned EPs and albums in the future. But yeah. Definitely will be waiting for it. Crossing my fingers here.
Oh, thank you.
thank you very much.
No worries. Is there a particular challenge that you are facing right now as a band or from before when you were starting that you would say that deepened the bond of your, we can say the friendship and as friendship and of course your bond as a band. Is there something that stuck with you, a challenge between you guys?
I'd say driving down to Leicester to play gigs, because when you're driving back from somewhere at 11 at night and you've got a 2.5 hour drive, you don't really have an option as opposed to talk to each other, because you run out of stuff to listen to. And honestly, I think me and Callum were really good friends before this, and we've been in a band together before this. And obviously we work really well with Emma. We're all mega close to Emma. Emma's a very good person. You are welcome. It's mainly been sort of integrating Jamie and getting used to, like, I think that's been not so much the challenge, but the thing that we've had to deal with. But when we were starting to proper get into a groove with Jamie with practices and everything, lockdown hit.
Yeah.
And all the prep for gigs and getting, like, starting to get the groove on music videos, the groove on playing live together, lockdown just put like a flat stop that right now on us.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the big problem we're going through right now, is we want to just give and put more and more stuff out.
But yeah, we just
can't.
Yeah.
It's not super feasible at the minute, because obviously fines are expensive.
But yeah,
very much. Got enough money to pay for those fines.
Yeah. The money that goes on fines could instead go on the Dakara.
Yeah.
So.
Go on, man. Dakara fines. Yeah. That's where you
Dakara
want
funds.
Dakara
yeah.
funds. Dakara funds.
We don't want to give Boris Johnson money.
He doesn't need more. No. I really do like how we shot on the name to Dak. It really fits in with a lot of things, like Dak chat, the Dak
yeah.
funds.
Dak
yeah.
fund, Dak chat.
I miss the Dak.
Thick Dak.
Dark the what?
Thick Dak.
Dak.
The Dak mood now, Callum.
Yeah, all the communication is broken down now.
What a Dak mood.
The Dak Force.
I'm so sorry.
The Dak Force.
The Dak Force.
Yeah.
The Dak Force, right?
Dak Force.
You have the green and the black motive in your brand image, right?
Yes.
Yes. So, right now, we are in the midst of a pandemic, and of course, you guys are quite apart right now. But I'm not sure if you mentioned well, but are you doing like a practice session or in online?
We're not practicing.
Is that possible?
It's just with latency and the fact that my house is internet.
Yeah, I don't think he's saying anything else. His house is
bad.
I thought you were gone. you just mentioned internet and then I thought you were gone. So.
That's basically what my internet is like. It's not feasible.
Yeah,
and obviously, go on, Callum.
I was going to say, we're all still practicing our individual instruments as much as we can. Like,
yeah, we are. Yeah,
so we should still be. Somewhat okay.
Jamie.
You come back and Jamie just picks up a guitar and he's like,
What do I do?
What's the chord?
Yeah.
We all are practicing. Yeah.
Yeah, to stay practice, right? Because you might forget the chords and of course the drums. And Emma still doing her, vocalization.
Yes, always. All day, every day.
Yes,
every day I'm vocal.
Yeah. Not always Sakura songs, but
every
I'm always
vocal.
Other songs.
I love to annoy my neighbors.
In terms of musical inspiration, first, of course, Emma, who is your utmost influence, idol?
I know this is going to sound really strange to a lot of people, but when I was a teenager, the band that I listened to that made me go, I don't want to listen to like punk rock anymore, I want to just listen to like hard rock, was Breaking Benjamin. And they paved the way. Yes, Callum's showing his favorite band.
They're from the UK as well, right?
Yes. And like from there, I kind of listened to a lot of heavier stuff when I got into metal from them. But I've listened to Breaking Benjamin for many, many years. And they were like my personal little secret band. I didn't really tell my friends about it. After school, I would put my headphones on and I just listened to them. It was my thing. And I kind of like that, you know? It was like an escape, I guess. And I think that especially the way that I sing is very similar to Benjamin himself. A lot of the time I noticed that. And I think that's quite cool because I respect them as a band. So. Yeah, wow. I'd say that's my influence.
Super. Fantastic. It's, I think that's one of the, I mean, prerequisite when you go into a music career, that you have someone that you crave to listen to back when you're in your younger years, right?
Yeah.
And that some sort influences you along the way as you grow up. So as for me, one of my idols is Michael Jackson. So
Michael Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
The Dyson loves Michael Jackson. Yeah, go on, so Dyson.
Maybe you can show us some moves. Can you do moonwalk?
No. We're not doing any of that.
I'd love to see that.
How about you, Jamie? What's who's your biggest influence in music? Or you?
Well, I grew up on sort of older stuff like Guns N' Roses and stuff like that.
Oh, Sweet Child of Mine.
Yeah, all that stuff. When I went to college, I did music in college. I got into sort of heavier stuff. And now I've kind of made a bit of a divergence that I like Don Broco, then it's better them. They're kind of a pop, I wouldn't say pop rock, but like sort of a cross between pop punk and hard rock, that kind of area.
Yeah, I'd say that.
So they're kind of like my main influence at the minute. But I always kind of tie it back to the classic rock stuff as well.
So it's mostly punk rock? Punk rock?
It's kind of a hard rock.
Yeah, punk rock. Really.
Yeah.
And then for Callum?
So basically any band from Sheffield. I started out around about like 9 or 10 listening to bunch of Arctic Monkeys. Like, I think it was probably a bit older than that, like year 9, year 10 of high school. Properly listening to like Arctic Monkeys, getting into indie, and then I actually started listening to Avenged Sevenfold. Like, that was like the first kind of heavy band that I was into, and the guitarist, Sinny G, is kind of where a lot of my inspiration for like guitar comes from. But now I'm a lot more While She Sleeps, Best Band in the World, and Bring Me the Horizon. So a lot of like Northern English metalcore bands and rock bands, that kind of stuff. Very, very punky, very like fast, aggressive kind of stuff.
How about the 1975? Any of you who's a fan of 1975?
What's that one about chocolate they do? I like that one. That's all right.
Yep.
Oh, see, like these, they're one of the bands like you'll hear, and you'll kind of know the songs, but I've never properly listened to 1975.
Me neither, really.
No, I could not make a comment. I'm sorry, 1975. I'm sure you're great.
they played in Seeds Hollow though.
Have they? Oh yeah, they played in Manchester.
Yeah, a picture of them like Youngins playing in Satan's Hollow. It's crazy.
Oh, that's wholesome.
I know the lead singer's mum is an actress, and she was in. You guys heard of Waterloo Road?
Oh, Waterloo Road. I watched that a lot.
Yeah, she played one of the characters in that. Yeah.
Hmm.
Trivia.
Yeah.
I hope that 1975 fans are not listening because they will be into Callum. Yeah. But that's okay. We have our different preferences, right? So, I mean,
yeah, exactly.
That will slide off. So, you're good, Callum.
You're safe, David. Callum. You're safe.
You're safe. David, your biggest influence in music.
It depends on the time, like the time period. Right now, my biggest influence is quite a bit of J-rock and anime bands, like bands who do anime ops. I'm really into, have you heard of Lisa? If you've not, I'd recommend listening to Lisa.
Lisa.
Yes. She's a, I do not want to get this wrong, so let me make sure I get this correct.
There's so much Lisa, so we need to be particular.
Yeah, my name's called Lisa, is it her?
She's literally called Lisa.
Yeah, she's one of the singers from Blackpink, and she's also done a solo rock project. Yeah.
And I'm really into that. I'm really into them at the minute. But going back, I used to my old primary influences were Bullet for My Valentine. Bullet for My Valentine. And it's kind of just evolved from there. I'm still really into my metal. I'm with Callum. I absolutely love While She Sleeps. But I've gone a bit more of the hard rock, alternate rock route, J-rock kind of vibes. I'm really liking sort of the different take on the way sort of how you've primarily heard rock music. I'm really enjoying the different take on it, which you hear a lot in J-rock, in my opinion. It's like, it's a fresh genre is the only way I could really describe it.
Yeah, it's literally anime rock. Like, anime exaggerates everything, and I feel like it just makes rock so much more dramatic in a cool way, and I appreciate that.
So they've either your
Lisa can sing. Sorry.
What'd you say, sorry?
You go.
No, David, are you also a fan of these anime opening songs?
Yes, a lot. My favorite
we're speaking the same language.
my favorite is Sword Art Online Alization. I don't know how to pronounce it. I'm going to say Alization.
Alization, yeah.
There we go. Alization, whatever.
You watch it. I don't watch it. How can you not pronounce it?
Because there's a lot of C's and Z's and S's in that name, Callum. The Adamas by Lisa, which is incidentally how I got into Lisa. That's probably my favorite op. And Black Rover by Vika Blanca for the opening of Black Clover. They're two of my favorites at the minute. Or the Yu-Gi-Oh! Original theme. That is the best.
Oh God, yeah.
UGS, man.
No
debate there, man.
It's all about, it's time to. That is where it's at. That is the best anime op. I stand by that opinion.
Yu-Gi-Oh, man.
Yu-Gi-Oh. So you play Yu-Gi-Oh as well?
I do, yes.
So you guys play?
I also do.
I don't.
You battle? You do Yu-Gi-Oh battle amongst yourself?
Me and Callum have duels. Yeah, me and Callum are colossal nerds.
Who wins the most?
All of us are kind of. Who's the nerdiest?
Who wins the most?
Probably me.
You win.
You play Warhammer and WoW.
I play Warhammer.
I just play WoW.
I play Yu-Gi-Oh. Oh,
Warhammer.
I play World of Warcraft.
World of Warcraft.
like Emma plays WoW, Callum plays Yu-Gi-Oh and Warhammer, and I'm just in the middle, just like. I enjoy all of these.
Yeah.
And then Jamie's a normal functioning member of
society. Yeah, Jamie's someone who doesn't waste his income on plastic.
I just play Red Dead Redemption 2 over and over again.
Shout out to the gaming community. Just contact David. Do battle with
him. Yeah, you'll get my opinion.
Do battle him. Yu-Gi-Oh! Expert in the house.
Oh, no. I'm not.
What about Minecraft?
Minecraft.
That is something we all agree on.
Callum does Minecraft?
We all play Minecraft.
Minecraft. Minecraft's one of those games, like, you look at somebody else playing Minecraft and you're like, Minecraft looks really good. And then I try and play Minecraft and I'm just like, I cannot play Minecraft.
How dare you?
So, I know you are in the early periods, if I'm correct, early periods of your career.
Yes.
How would you see yourselves maybe 5 years from now? How would you see Dakara? Sorry?
Headline festival. Yeah, headline festivals.
Reach big. Yeah. Reach for the stars. Why not?
Yes, exactly. So that's your take, David. Or is it the same with you, the other members? Emma, Kyle?
Yeah, headlining festival. That'd be cool.
What particular festival are you thinking of? Is it only in the UK or are we talking about on different places?
Anywhere.
That'd be cool. I'd love to see the world and play music.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah.
Travel, right? I mean, especially now, we want to travel. We're yearning for travel. We're
all stuck right now, right?
You have missed you must be missing live gigs a lot. So
you have no idea.
Wow. Oh my god.
No idea.
It's
like we've got this pent up energy. We have nowhere to release it. So.
Yeah.
I can already see spider webs in my room. So that's how long I've been here in my room. And so 5 years from now, you're seeing yourselves as headlining a festival, and do you see someone in the future that you dream of collaborating with?
Ooh.
You are a super fan.
Baby Mel.
Yeah,
if we could collab with Baby Mel, I could die happy then.
Yeah.
That is the correct answer.
Or bring me your Baby Mel.
Baby Mel. Jamie's all about
Baby Mel. I mean,
okay,
Bring is cool, but Baby Mel.
But Baby Mel.
Baby Mel.
No.
It's not quite Baby Mel, is it?
Especially if you do it in Super Bowl, right? How about in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, that'd be cool.
We just said the word Baby Metal.
Yes, we did.
That's super, super, super great. Before I let you guys go, I don't know if you still want to continue. We can do this for 4 hours more. But I need to sleep, guys. I need to sleep.
Yeah, I was going to say, you need to go to bed.
Yeah.
Anyway, before I let you guys go, I'm just one last question. This is a very, very important question. If your group or your band is given a chance to sign to a label, will you choose signing to a label or will you focus on being an independent artist?
It depends on the context of the label.
If it's a major label, no.
It depends. That's an interesting question because obviously every artist ever will have like a clear answer. And unfortunately it's not as simple as that. Like
a
label could take us, like the reason we go with a label is like a label is a juggernaut for press and PR and all the stuff that we're having to like slog out ourselves at the minute. And it's just a monster of a juggernaut for that. But at the same time, a label can potentially remove creative freedoms, in some cases, the rights to our own music in some in some cases. Like, I'd like to think yes and no. It would be a yes if the label was more open to negotiations in what their contracts would contain. Whereas if it was like a set, like, here's how it's happening, you don't get any say in this, I think that is just a no, because at the end of the day, it's our music and we kind of want to do it our way. But if it was open to sort of negotiations and the ability to make sure that everything was done sort of how it should be, like without the label sort of going, right, we want you guys to do a pop album now. Like, we don't want any of that. Like, we want the ability to have creative freedom throughout it.
Yep.
I like the DIY stuff that we're doing at the moment. I like making things out of a couple of blocks of wood for a music video and sticking it together with black tape and going, we don't have a big budget.
We're doing that ourselves.
Oh, no, no, yeah, sorry, yeah, no. We're not...
I think if it... if it was sort of, if you get independent labels, they're usually quite...
Because they're more modern.
Labels are chill, yeah.
Yeah, I think big corporations, they'll focus on like their big bands and they'll sign you and say, oh, look, we're with Bullet for My Valentine, for example. But like, they won't focus any of their attention on us. Most of their assets, let's be honest, will go to the bigger band. So it's like, is it worth it? You know, are we doing fine on our own or on our own? On our own.
On our own.
Yeah. It, like Dyson said, it really does depend on whether they're willing, you know, to see it the modern way and let us be creative as we are.
I think that is the dilemma of most artists when they're presented with this opportunity when you're given opportunity to sign to a label, but there's like a trade-off wherein, as David mentioned, that you have to give up something. There's some case, there are actually mostly, if we scar the YouTube, there are tons of stories wherein they have to give up their creative freedom so that they can have this machinery backing them up so that it can catapult their career into new heights, right? So I think David said yes, but it's somehow there's part of you that you're like in between, or there's a contradictory part of you that you want it, but man, I need to give up my creative freedom, right?
Yeah.
But I want this freedom. It's my art, right?
Yeah.
But
I mean, you could always sell out and then just do what you want later.
But I guess sell out on YouTube now.
But I guess if you heard this rapper Russ, the way he did it, wherein he is an independent artist, wherein he built his career first in the long run, so he was able to gather fans. And then once he has that number of fans, he already has that leverage so that when he meets the guys, the big guys on the table, he has that leverage so that he can command. They're not the ones who are in control on the negotiation, since he has already the leverage. Then he can command that I want this type of condition in the contract, something like that.
Maybe
if we have that kind of leverage, then I mean, you couldn't be bullied by this big machineries in the music industry, right? If you agree with me. So I think that's it's a great path. That we're not saying every big corporations are evil, right? There's some those that are really care for the artists.
Oh yeah, of course. But we just are aware that not everything's fair, and sometimes people aren't out to just help you. They're out to get, you know, something out of you.
And it's just so easy to say. It's business as usual, right? To them. So.
Yeah.
It might not be fair for us, but for them, it's business as usual.
Yeah, because the way that sort of the major labels work is they would assign a lot of artists, right, at a wall and see which one sticks, and the ones that don't, they get dropped.
Yep. Exactly. That's how it works.
Better
have the leverage first, then you go to them and then, I want my money. No, I mean, just... At least you have the commanding side of you that they cannot bully you when it comes to negotiations because you have the leverage.
Yeah, exactly,
There's fans that help a lot with that as well. Like, While She Sleeps, as much as I fangirl over them, they actually did that. They had a lot of issues with, like, a label they were on, kind of pushing them to do stuff they didn't want to do. So they kind of just dropped their label and then went, like, gave it to the fans and were like, okay, we want to do a new album. We want to build a studio. Help us out. And then the fans, like, raised all the money to make them continue on. And, like, there is definitely ways of getting out there now without a label. It's just a bit difficult.
Yeah. But they deserve it. While She Sleeps does awesome stuff.
Yeah, they are so good.
Yeah, it's just a funny thing that some cases were in designed to a label, and then as you mentioned a while ago, that if their career path is, or their record or their album is not working well, then they're just pushed to the sidelines by the corporations. That's the hardest thing. That's the saddest thing that happened to artists, that they were hoping that this big corporation will be backing them up, backing up their careers. But instead, if they don't do well, then they're just being put into the shelves. So that's the sad part of it. So you want you want the machinery of the big corporations, you have to give up something. But if you want the full freedom of your art, then
you need to work for it
ten times harder, because they have the money.
Oh, yeah,
they have the money.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
But I think I'm the creativity. Sure. But for this age now, it's the creativity that will make it push forward for artists.
Yeah, and also, it's not necessarily about the speed. It's about, you know, as long as we keep climbing, keep growing, keep reaching out to people, that's all we can ask for, that's all we can do.
Yep. And the technology right now that we have compared to 20 years ago. So,
oh, God, yeah. We can achieve so much more now.
We can use those leverage. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. It's been a blast, guys. I wanted to talk to you some more, but I believe this is not the last time, but it's been a very, very fun interview with Dakara.
Yeah. We had a good time.
I mean, I wish you all the best. I would say, I don't want to make any predictions. I just want to see you guys grow, right? So you're very talented, right?
We do just, too.
Just keep creating good music. And as fans, we'll be waiting for those upcoming singles. David, we have your word, huh? You said that you were going to release music this year. So,
yes.
Dakara fans, if they don't release music
very soon,
target David
and then headline and download.
We have his word. All right, guys, thank you very much.
Cheers.
I'm gonna leave for all those who listened to this very awesome interview. I'll be leaving their info, their social media links to the show notes. And you also have a website, correct? I've seen your website. They can also buy your merch there. You already have merch?
Yes.
Merchandise?
Yeah.
It's Dark Energy.
Does it come with mugs or shoes? I want shoes. I need
very sneakers. Green shoes.
Very green shoes.
That'd be great. Right.
You can see it. Yeah. You can see it in the dark. I want the ones that glow in the dark.
Yeah.
That's a good product pitch. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, thank you very much, guys. And keep rocking. Keep creating good music.
Thank you, yeah.
And hopefully this is not the last time that we jam together. Maybe in the coming future, you'll be releasing a new album. Hopefully.
We can talk about it. Yeah.
Yeah, invite you in the show. And hopefully I also have a big fan base when, you know, Dakara here. You heard it first in the Extra Hot Music Experience.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much again. And take care. Stay with the take social care, distancing.
Take care.
Protocols. Yeah. Follow.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Cheers. Hey, what's up? If you enjoyed the episode that you've just listened, just follow me on podcasts to be notified on the new episodes. And don't forget to follow me on social media. See you on the next episode.